Yesterday morning, we had our monthly family service here. It was actually quite intimate and charming, but after the service was over, this is a little bell that we use. We do a 3-minute meditation with the children, and we ring the bell every minute just so they have a goal because, well, we all know how long 3 minutes can feel. We don't have to be children. After the service was over, this little boy walked up to me, one of the little boys. He said to me, "Shanti, what does that say on there?" I said, "It says, please ring for assistance." And he stopped and he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, so that's how we find God." I thought, why do we have to talk about prayer? We just hand everybody a little bell and we can ring. It was so charming. For those of you who were here last week, you know that when I looked up and saw it was a few minutes after 11, I was aghast because I had nowhere near finished everything I wanted to say. So this is going to be a sequel, like all sequels. Let's hope it makes sense without having been here for the first part. But part of the reason why there's so much to talk about, as I said last week, is that Swami, who we have to remember, there was never anything that Swami did that was thoughtless or mindless. You remember I said to you that just in the introduction that he wrote to the Affirmations for Self-Healing book that we read from every week, he said, "Nothing is ever accomplished in life." He's talking about spiritual lessons, of course, haphazardly. And of course, there's nothing that Swamiji did ever that was haphazard. So he devoted 3 weeks of our weekly readings to the topic of prayer. Last week, the question was how to pray. This week, it's why pray at all. And next week, it'll be the power of prayer. But we'll see what Asha chooses to do with that. So there really is a lot to say. And I mentioned last week, just to get us, I think they always take a little bit of liberty like this at the beginning of sequels, in case you weren't here, that I had been reading in preparation for a class that I'll be giving this month, actually starting in a week and a half, a 3-week series on the saints. And I was reading some books about that, and I came upon a few things that Carolyn Miss had written. She's a great teacher. Probably it's fair to say she's a mystic in her own right, had written about these saints. And some of you may remember that I said that she said that the spiritual life is a journey of continual change and choice. And pretty much that's where the sermon stopped. I talked about that a little bit. But the sentence that she says in that paragraph right after that is very touching to me. It said that we have to be willing to surrender, or it's a process of, and she says it so gently, which is what I love about it. She doesn't even say, "We have to be." That sounds more like me than her. She says, a spiritual journey is a process of, we make an effort to surrender the old and trust in new beginnings. That's what she says. And it's just so sweet because you don't feel like you're really letting go of anything. She immediately takes you to this trust in new beginnings. Good things will happen, which was part of the talk last week. Before we can even pray, we have to believe that good will come of it. We have to ask ourselves who we're praying to, and the good will come of it. And then we need to be willing to hear an answer to a prayer, as I said, that may not be what we expect. So there was a story that I wanted to tell that never happened last week, but I'll tell it now. I met with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago. He was in the midst of questioning, in a very deep and intense way, some things that were going on in his life. He was going about trying to set his life up just perfectly and sort of wasn't working out the way he expected. He was like, I don't know, maybe I'm just completely on the wrong path. And we had had that talk. And then I had a vision almost in meditation one morning a few days after that. It was an inspiration. I knew it when it came because I was not thinking of this person. I was not trying to solve the problem. But in this vision, or whatever I can call it, I don't know, it came to me that what was happening for this person, because he is very involved in the world of Hatha Yoga, that this moment of his life was just like being right in the middle, or right into a very hard posture. You know, maybe everybody in this room, or many of you anyway, have done Hatha Yoga, when your muscles are screaming and everything in you is resisting, you just want to get out of that pose, and there's the yoga teacher saying, just breathe into the posture, see if you can go into it a little more. And you're just yelling, I don't want to go into it more, I want to get out of this. And I just knew that that's what was happening for this person, that this time in their life was just like a Hatha Yoga posture. And what was being asked of them was that they breathe into it, that they go deeper into it. And really what we have to do in those poses, relax into it. So I called him and I said, I'd love to see you. I had this inspiration about you in meditation, because I knew it was the truth. And a very interesting thing happened. He came over and we were talking, and I could see that the story was having a big impact. And he said to me, he related an experience that happened, I don't know, a year or two ago in a class with Gyandev up at the village, where Gyandev was teaching the teachers. And Gyandev said, I want you to choose your most difficult posture, the posture that you like the least of all postures, and I want you to go deeply into it. So, which I thought was actually brilliant on Gyandev's part, not that I was surprised about it, but it was brilliant. But what happened in that moment for my friend is that he realized that he was hearing the same exact message again. And very sweetly related to me, I had a vision for my life. I was going to find the love of my life. We were going to get married. We were going to have kids. We would do this. We would do that. And do good work. These are very good people. It was a beautiful vision. And then very sweetly he said, I had a story. I had the story of my life. And this thing about going deeper into this hard pose, it was not a part of my story. And you could just see it wasn't a dilemma, because I knew instantly that he would hear God's will. I knew that. It was just one of those moments. But it so demonstrated how hard it can be to hear the answer to a prayer. Again, because we have to be willing to go with it. We have to be ready to accept God's will, thy will, not my will. So I was thinking about, why do we pray? This is the question that Swamiji poses to us. And he answers it in many ways. He says the bottom line is, we pray because we need to pray. We need to see God. We need to raise our energy. We need to be accepting. I mean, a perfect affirmation for the day. God doesn't need anything from us. But I was thinking about all of the ways that we live in our lives, how easy it is for us to become forgetful, for instance, to just start living casually and to forget. Sometimes days might go by that we don't think of God. I was remembering a story that I've told here before. I'm not going to tell it in depth or length. When I became very, very ill on my way to Mexico one year, a few years ago. And when I arrived in Mexico, literally as the plane touched down, I was pretty certain I was dying. And over the next few hours, I kept saying to my friend, look, if I die, it's not your fault. Don't take responsibility for it. Because we were out in some godforsaken place. We took a two-hour ride from Cancun. There was no medical help. And I said to her, I think I'm dying. Whatever it is we call life force is leaving me. Well, she, of course, was aghast. I mean, all of my friends who were with me were. And I was sort of passed out on the, to call it a bathroom is almost a euphemism, but what we would call a bathroom there. And nobody knew what to do because I was always the doctor. And here I was saying goodbye to everybody. Literally, that's what I was doing. And telling them, it's not your fault. And all of a sudden, after about an hour of this, really dying and in a cold sweat, I remembered the sermon from the week before when Swamiji was in trouble and he called to Master. And I immediately, something Asha had said, started calling for Master. It was weak, but it was, Master, Master, I need you. Within minutes, I was better. I mean, it's embarrassing to tell this story. Here, I've been on this path for all these years, but we get forgetful. We think we're always waiting for the big test, and we forget that moment by moment by moment in life, we're being given the test because we always have this opportunity to seek God or not, to solve our problems, as I've been saying now for weeks, in the direction of God or not. But it is just so easy to forget that. St. Teresa says, seek God in the smallest details of your life because God is everywhere. And we just forget to do that. So we need to pray to remind ourselves to do that. We need to pray because in prayer, we go beyond mind. We transcend all of those things that we can perceive with our senses because we raise our consciousness up our spine and we focus on a higher truth, higher thoughts. We don't have to think, now I'm going to pray to get out of my mind. That is what prayer is. That is what happens. So we need to pray for that reason. We need to pray because we are on a journey, our souls on a journey, and it is trying to take us to that place. And we can do it beyond mind, without mind, if we do it through prayer. This whole reading is really focused on the Lord's Prayer, and when Swamiji writes his longer explanation of this reading, he goes through the Lord's Prayer line by line because he says it's the perfect prayer. And he talks a lot about why. I don't want to spend the time only talking about the Lord's Prayer. But he says in there, the most important part of the Lord's Prayer are the first two words, Our Father. And he says, because we need to develop a personal relationship with God. We need to feel it that way because we are living with an ego, the soul identified with the body. So we live in this place of an I-thou relationship. Of course, everything we're doing on the spiritual path is trying to help ourselves transcend that and move beyond it. But he said, when you pray, Our Father, you go so deep with that personal relationship and you remember that parent who knows everything that you need, everything that you want. He doesn't just know you, he is you. But we get to that in prayer. And we remember that this parent knows us and loves us and will only bring to us what we need. I was reminded when I was reading this last night of a story about my sister. I had an older sister. She died many, many years ago now. But she was a very precocious child. She was singing songs when she was 9 months old. She could literally dress herself before she was a year old. And she was a handful for my mother, as you might imagine. And one day they were out. We were born and raised in Pittsburgh. And she was on a streetcar. And it was coming to be time to get off of the streetcar. And my sister did not want to get off the streetcar. So my mother said to her, "Gwen, we have to get off the streetcar. If you get off the streetcar, I'm going to buy you a sundae." And Gwen looks and she says to my mother, "What day is today?" And my mother said, "It's Monday." And at the top of her lungs, my sister screams, "I don't want a Sunday. I want a Monday." And she just wouldn't budge. My mother, knowing that she was the mother and knew better than the child, which the child hadn't recognized yet, picked her up and took her off of the streetcar. But we're like that child. We don't know. We're kicking and screaming for whatever we want. We're sure we have the answers, even something that's that illogical. One thing that I wanted to mention before that I forgot, and it's so important to this, I just reminded myself, is that we are always praying. We don't think of it like that, but we're always going through, "Can you give me this? I'd like a little more of that. Oh, if you could just give me this right now, if you could just make that happen." And every one of those prayers become an affirmation. I wanted to say this when I was talking about the number one reason why we need to pray, because we need to get very conscious about what our prayers are, and we need to direct them where we want them to go. When I was in my first year of medical training, it was a challenging year. Everybody knows that about medical training. I actually lived through 3 years that are against the law now. I mean, that's how bad it was. There's a law against doing what they did to us, what we lived through. But it was exhausting, to say the least. And we were in the hospital every day of our training. That's what it was in those days. And so you'd go in and you'd be making rounds, they call them, on 25 or 30 people. And from my mind, my exhausted mind, these people are there and they're laying in bed and they're watching television. Now, I hate television. This is true. I have a new television, 2 or 3 years old. I was trying to remember last night if I've ever turned it on, other than to practice every once in a while, maybe once or twice, so that when company comes, I know how to get the television on. I just don't watch television. But I would walk in, and I would look at these people resting, and they'd be watching some, I don't know, Days of Our Lives. And it would start looking so good to me. And so I developed the thought, this is a true story, I would start saying, "God, maybe you could just give me a little something. Maybe it doesn't have to be real bad, but like, I'd have to lay down for a week and watch this soap opera or this game show." I used to have those thoughts for a whole year. When I thought about it, I never thought about it until last night. And I thought to myself, "Oh my God, thank goodness he wasn't listening." Thank goodness he was like my mother was saying, "No way, honey, you're off the streetcar. No, you're well. You're going to get to finish this whole year standing on your own 2 feet." We really need to change our consciousness. So we need to focus on prayer for these reasons, so that we keep our prayers where we want them to be, above and beyond our senses, focusing on the truth. And we do it slowly but surely. We do it with those little details of our life just like St. Teresa was saying, or like Master said, the minutes are more important than the years. And that's where we want to be. There's a wonderful, Lahiri Mahashaya used to say, Master said all the time, banatta banatta banjai. It means little by little we work on these things and then soon we find victory. Little by little. That's all that's asked of us. But how easy to do it in the form of a prayer. I wanted to share with you something that I heard Joe Tisch do when he was talking about prayer once, because I think it's so fabulous. He said, everybody can remember that we have five fingers on our hands. He said, so I'm going to give you five F's around prayer. And I hope I remember them now. But the first thing he said is familiarity. And he meant the way we pray, the way we start every one of our prayers. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved, become familiar with God. Let him be all of those things to you. Remind yourself all the time. Last week, that's what I was saying. We pray before we energize. We pray after we energize. We pray when we start our meditation. We pray when we end it. We go home to eat. We pray again. Why are we doing that? It's so beautiful. I was just listening to what happens when we were in the minister's room. I already can't remember the chant that was being done, but it was a prayer. And it was so beautiful in there, listening to that prayer to music. It transported me. Or listening, receive me on thy lap, O Mother. Receive me on thy lap, O Mother. Just made me feel like such a little baby and like I could be so safe there. So familiarity, faith. He said, pray believing. One of my favorite affirmations, I move forth with perfect faith in the power of the omnipresent good to bring me what I need when I need it. That just sums up everything that Swamiji's been saying to us for 2 weeks. I move forth in perfect faith in the power of the omnipresent good. The omnipresent good exists to bring me what I need when I need it. I may have to let go of my story. I may have a story that I have to let go of. Then he said, frequency. And I just talked about that. Pray as often as you can. Just talk to God as often as you can, because we need it. We need to remind ourselves. Then he said fervor. And when he gave this talk and he got to this point, he put on a recording of Master praying. I wish I had done it. He said, listen to what Master does with these prayers. He doesn't say, can you please help me? I really need this, please. And as I said last week, where's the magnetism in that? There is none. It isn't there. You come and you tell God what you need and that you need it now and how you want his help and the ways you want his help. That's magnetic. That's what draws a response, a call and a response. That's what it is. And then he said, follow. Follow Master everywhere. Follow God in everything that you do. And I just thought that was so beautiful. You know, we are all seeking, yearning for an intimacy with the divine, whether we know it or not. We are all seeking intimacy with something sacred, really with our own eternal self. We can't just show up there for that heroic challenge that comes how often in any of our lives. We need to be practicing this. And when we do, when we pray deeply, when we practice bhakti, when we practice devotion, because really, what do Master and Swamiji tell us all the time? We can only find God in love. God is love. It's the only way, even in this reading, Swamiji said, it's the only thing we have to offer God. God already has everything else. So Swami himself, I was listening to a talk yesterday that he gave, not about prayer, but about bringing God into our everyday life. And he says three times in that talk, pray deeply, practice bhakti, practice devotion. God is here, right now. He is the eternal now. What we need to do is get ourselves right into that moment and be with him. And as Master so sweetly says, as long as we are making the effort, God will never let us down. What beautiful words. What beautiful promise. Find God in the little details of our life. Do what we can to just keep coming back to the divine. Hold ourselves in prayer. As long as we're making the effort, God will never let us down.